Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. The Old Testament book of Lamentations and chapter number 3. Now, we've already kind of started with the book of Lamentations, giving a quick survey, and we understand that the book of Lamentations is a poetical book dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem. The word lamentation means mourning, and it is a mourning wail, a cry, an upset, a funeral dirge. And with this book, it also has some special features in it that in chapters 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5, you would notice that there are 22 verses in each one of those chapters. And that is the reason, because the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And in the Hebrew language, it doesn't quite confer over to English, but in the Hebrew language, each one of those verses started with the letter in the alphabet A, B, C, D, all the way up to 22. When it comes to Lamentations chapter 3, you will notice that there are 66. That's because there is a triplicate of AAA, BBB, CCC as it goes through. Once again, this is a very poetical book dealing with the eyewitness account of Jeremiah walking through and observing and seeing and noting the destruction of Jerusalem. And so we understand that chapters 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5 is very much dealing with the destruction that is occurring around them, everything that is going about. But in Lamentations chapter number 3, we see everything being reflected to the wonderful God that we have. And so if you don't mind, notice with me in the book of Lamentations in chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter 3, and notice with me in verse number 1. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says this: I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He had led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compelled me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewed stone, and hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith the Lord. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He put his mouth in the dust. If it so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3? The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and notice with me in verse number 21. Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 21, notice the phrase, therefore I have hope. Therefore I have hope. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach about that message, therefore I have hope. Have hope. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's talk to this God of hope. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for letting us gather here among your word to open up the Bible, that we can learn of you, that we can see who you are, that we can know what you are like, that we can see that you are the God of hope. We ask that you just do something in a special way to help us to have hope in the various situations that we have. That the things that we're going through, that we feel like we're going to be consumed, that we're going to be drowned, that we're going to be pulled under, that we could remember how good you are. We could remember your attributes and your praise. And because of that, we could have hope. I'm asking that you would just stir us up, stir our remembrance up, stir us up in knowing more about you. And that you would just give us grace in all the days that we walk. That you would help us even in those dark valleys. Again, with a message this powerful. A message that it talks so much about you. I don't dare do it on my own. So once again, fill me with your precious spirit. And you get your own work accomplished tonight, Lord. Through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we get into the message, we, of course, want to hit the context. And we understand in the context, it's dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem. That Jerusalem is fallen, and Jeremiah is an eyewitness, and he's walking around, and he's observing some things. In the context, we see the suffering of God's people. And that we could see in the book of Lamentations that homes have failed. We could see that people are starving, that the kids are asking for food. And we even see some parents that are eating their own children. It is so horrible. We have seen as the palaces have destroyed. We could see as the honored people, they were hung. We could see the temple is destroyed. It is leveled. And it is nothing more than rubble in the street. But sometimes as we go through the book of Jeremiah and we go through the book of Lamentations, we look at the suffering of God's people. We could see the destruction of Jerusalem, but we forget about the suffering of Jeremiah himself. That Jeremiah was under the same problems that the people were. That he wasn't inside of a bubble. He wasn't eating well while everyone else was starving. He wasn't immune from the destruction. He wasn't immune from the hardship. He himself was suffering at this point. Notice with me as we see the suffering of Jeremiah and the context of it. Let's just kind of see what's going on in Jeremiah's life. Notice with me in verse 1. I am the man that hath seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Jeremiah's walking. He says, I've seen the rod of his wrath. I'm in darkness. He hasn't brought me into light. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. He said, verse 3, surely against me is he turned. He hath turned his hand against me all the day. Jeremiah is suffering. Everything else that everyone else is suffering. Verse 4, my flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. Jeremiah is physically suffering. Notice verse 5, he hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. And verses 1 through 5, we can see that Jeremiah's body and his spirit are broken. You know, it's one thing to go through physical pain. It's another thing to go through that mental anguish. He is right now a broken man in his body and in his spirit. It is darkness around him. He is starving. His health is failing. Notice as it goes on. And verse 6. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. And verses, notice verse 9. He hath enclosed my ways and with huge stone. And he hath made my paths crooked. And verses 7 through 9. We see that he has received no help from men or heaven. He has received no help. There is no hope. No one to help him. It seems like heaven is shut up. No man has the ability to help him out. He is in a hopeless situation. Notice, if you don't mind, jumping to verse 14. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. That word derision carries the idea that he was an example. That people said, you want to see an example of a failure? That's Jeremiah. He says, I'm serving as an example to my people, as a bad example. They're showing, this is what a failure looks like. They're looking at me and say that he's a failure. Everything he's worked for, he's preached. And look, he's suffering just like we are. Verse 15, he hath filled me with bitterness, and he hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And verses 14 through 16, we can see that Jeremiah is at the place of bitterness. He's at the place where his whole ministry has failed. Everyone's laughing at him. He has notices again. It actually says he hath made, verse 15, he hath made filled me with bitterness, and he hath made me drunken with wormwood. Remember, Jeremiah is not a super Christian. He's made out of the same flesh that you and I have gone through. And when you watch your entire life be destroyed, and your health is failing, and your life is failing, and everyone's laughing at you, and there is no help, there is no hope, there is nothing, and you look at yourself and say, it's all gone. And bitterness is affecting Jeremiah at this time. Notice with me in verse number 17. He says, thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. He says, it's been such a long time since I've seen what peace and prosperity is. I forgot what they're like. That's pretty hopeless. It's been such a long time since I've seen peace. It's been such a long time since I've seen prosperity. I don't even remember what it's like anymore. Notice with me, if you don't mind, and verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. He says, it's all gone. My strength is gone. I don't have any more strength to give. My hope was that the people would repent and that this destruction wouldn't come. But that hope is gone. The people did not get right. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And nothing happened to them. They didn't change. And everything is wasted. And you look at Jeremiah in the midst of a broken city. You see a broken man who is weak in spirit. Broken in body. He is physically drained. He is mentally broken. It is hard to fight against the bitterness that is welling up. And the natural question is, Jeremiah, how do you go on? How do you take another step? How do you move forward? Jeremiah, it is awful. It is bad. It doesn't look like you're going to get out of this. It doesn't look like it's going to get any better. How do you wake up in the morning and get out of bed? How do you get out and take another step? How do you move forward? How do you keep going? Again, we're talking about a man who has suffered more than any of us have suffered. And I'm not belittling situations that we go through, but we could relate to them. And I'm not talking about someone who's just stubbed his pinky toe and he said, all is woe is me, it's all gone. We're talking about someone who's truly suffered. Someone whose whole life, his whole ministry, his whole life's work is gone, seems to be wasted. He seems to have wasted his entire life. How do you go on? How do you take another step? Notice what he says in verse number 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. There's something about memory. Something about memory. That you could go back in your mind and remember something. That God has been good to me before. That God has showed himself faithful to before. That I can go back and I could remember that God is still good and God is still right. You see, how do you take another step when it seems everything has collapsed? How do you take another step when it seems everything you touched failed? How can you move forward? This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. And what comes after this verse is what Jeremiah recalls to his mind, that he can have hope once again. By the way, what he recalls to his mind is not the good old days. What he does not recall to his mind is how beautiful the city once was. He doesn't go back and say, I remember when the government wasn't corrupt. He goes back and he thinks about God. And it is because of who God is that Jeremiah has hope. It is because of who Jeremiah is that he could wake up the next morning and get out of bed. It is because of who God is he can make another step and move forward. Because if it was not for the hope, if it wasn't for him being able to recall who God was in his mind, he could not move forward. And you understand, when we get to the places when we can't get out of bed, when we get to the places when we can't take another step forward, when we get to another place where it feels like we are so weighted down, the chains are heavy. Let me tell you, the answer is that this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. So what was it that Jeremiah recalled to his mind? Well, the first thing I'd like to show you is that, first of all, the unchangeable character of God. The unchangeable character of God. Why we can have hope is because God, he doesn't change. We can look at him and know that he is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he does not change. And we could rely that on his attributes, they will not change. Notice, if you don't mind, some things about the unchangeable character of God. Notice with me in verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know, Jeremiah, everything else may be going wrong around him, but he is not dead yet. He is not consumed. He is not destroyed. It looks bad, but he still has life. And it is of the Lord's mercies he is not consumed. You know, God is always merciful to us. He is always merciful to us. He is full of mercy. You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Psalm 136, what it does is it goes through a history of the children of Israel. And if your mind's eye, you don't mind, it's almost like having a portrait. And each portrait shows a picture of Israel's history. And that one picture, it shows them crossing the Red Sea. One picture, it shows the destruction of Egypt through the plagues. One picture, it shows them wandering through the wilderness. Another picture, it shows manna coming from heaven. Another picture, it shows them defeating the kings of Sion and Og. That you see this history. And underneath every verse, it's almost like the brass plaque that you would have underneath the picture. And the brass plaque, every single verse in Psalm 136 ends with this phrase, His mercy endureth forever. And so when you look at each picture in this picture gallery of Psalm 136, you see God dealing with the Egyptians and the plaque, His mercy endureth forever. You watch the picture with the Red Sea parted, and the caption is, His mercy endureth forever. You see the picture of God leading them through the wilderness, and underneath that brass plaque, His mercy endureth forever. You watch the manna coming from the sky, and the brass plaque, His mercy endureth forever. You understand? That should be us. Every stage of our life, you can see, no matter what is going on, you can have that brass plaque between every picture that you have, His mercy endureth forever. And that Jeremiah, as he's at this place right here, he still remembers something, that God's mercies, they don't end. That God's mercies, it is because of His mercies we are not consumed. His mercy endureth forever. And so, why could Jeremiah have hope? Well, as he looks at God's unchangeable character, he understands that God's mercy endureth forever. Notice something else. Back in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 again. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. You understand that God will always have compassion on His people. You understand that God did not choose to love you because you are wonderful. He did not choose to want to love you because He saw something special in you. God chose to love you. The Bible says that God commendeth or proved His love towards us in why we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God loved you when you were a piece of trash, saying, I don't want you, God, stay out of my life. He loved you that much. God chose to love you because He is a God of love. And He still chooses to love you no matter what situation you find yourself into. You understand that God cannot love you anymore, and He refuses to love you any less. His compassions, they fail not. There'll never be a time in your life where God does not love you anymore. And so you may find yourself in the hardest situation you've ever been, but let me tell you, His compassions, they fail not. Oh, what a wonderful God that we have. It says in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. That they is God's mercies and His compassions. They're new every morning. Aren't you glad that every morning you start off with a brand new slate? Every morning, His compassions are reset. His mercies are reset. That you can't try God's patience where God says, I won't show you any more mercy. What a wonderful God that we have. He says, it is the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And so as we look at the unchangeable character of God, we understand that His mercy endureth forever. We understand the Lord's compassions, they fail not. We understand that God's unchangeable character, that great is His faithfulness. You understand, you cannot take away faithfulness and divorce it from God. God is nothing but faithful. If you were to take God and find some way to slice Him open, you would find faithfulness run all the way through Him. He is nothing but faithful. He is always faithful. He is a faithful God. And it is because of the unchangeable character of God that we can have hope, because of His mercies, they endure forever. His compassions, they fail not. Great is His faithfulness. Notice, if you don't mind, as we go on in verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. What we see is that the sufficiency of God never wavers. That sometimes we don't realize that God is all we need until God is all we have. Sometimes we don't realize that God is all we need until God is all we have. As long as you have the Lord, you have hope. Your bank account may be negatives, but as long as God is God, you can have hope. Because of who he is, because of his unchangeable character, that he is sufficient, he is enough. When you have Jesus, you have everything you need. You have everything. He is your portion. He is what you need. He is sufficient. That word sufficient means he is enough. He is satisfying. He is what we need. That so many times we're looking for so many other things to satisfy us. And we miss out on God. And it is God that truly satisfies. He is enough. And when we're satisfied with him, we have what we need. This is why we have hope. When we look at him and say, I have what I need. I have Jesus. I have God. And as long as I have him, God is what I need. He'll take care of me. He'll supply. He is my portion. He is my sufficiency. And so Jeremiah, how can you take another step? How can you move forward? Well, first of all, we understand it is because of the unchangeable character of God. Because of who God is and that he never changes. They will never fail. His mercies endureth forever. His compassions, they fail not. Great is his faithfulness. He is sufficient and he never wavers in that sufficiency. How else can we take another step? What is another thing that we can look at God? Not only the unchangeable character of God, but another reason we can have hope is the unfathomable strength of God. Because of the unfathomable strength of God, we have a God who is strong enough to go through. He is strong enough to give us hope. He is strong enough to do what is necessary. Notice, if you don't mind, as we look, notice in verse number 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait on him. The Lord is good unto them that wait on him. There's one thing that we don't like to do, and we don't like to wait. But you understand, waiting on God is the ultimate form of worship because it means you trust him. That God's timetable is not our timetable. God has perfect timing. He is never late. There are some times that we are too early. There are some times that we're not prepared enough. But God is never late. He is always on time. And when we are able to trust God, even in the midst of our situation, there are many times that we do not wait on God. We get so frustrated. Why, God, can't we have this now? Why can't you fix this now? Why can't you make it better now? And we're not waiting on God, not trusting in his perfect timing, trusting that he knows what is best for us, that God, the Lord, is good unto them that wait for him. You understand, God is strong enough. God is able enough. Can you trust him? When you can trust God, even in the hardest days, you have hope. It is when we cannot wait on God. We do not think God is going to come through. We do not think that we're not trusting that God is going to come on time. We have no hope. We get frustrated. We get buried. We get bitter. We destroy our own selves and our own hearts. Can you wait on him? He is strong enough. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue on in verse number 25. For the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The soul that seeketh him. You know, if you are in the midst of the hardest times, the greatest thing you could do is seek for him. Look for him. You understand, strength comes from worship. When you're looking for God, he will be found. When you're saying, God, I need you. Show me who you are. Let me learn of you. When you see who God is, your strength, you will have strength because of God's strength. when you are seeking God in the midst of the days and you look up and you see a God who is high, holy, and lifted up, when you see him as the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, when you see him as the Lord of hosts, the God of all the armies of heaven, when you see him as the Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner, when you see him and you go through all the names of God and you learn of him and see him, worship will bring strength, because you see, I can trust that God. Look at how big he is. Look at how strong he is. You understand, we have to look past the circumstances and see the God of the circumstances. Every circumstance we come to may be overwhelming to us, but it's so small to God. You just have to get the comparison. You ever remember as a little kid taking your thumb and blocking out someone's face? You understand that person is much bigger than your thumb. But with your entire thumb, I could block you out from here. So many times we look at that circumstance and it looks so big, we fail to look beyond that and say, that is a big God, and this is a small circumstance. God is good to them that wait on him, to the soul that seeketh him. Notice in verse 26, it is good. So you want to know what's good? It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God. Do you understand? You can hope and wait quietly and say, God's going to do it. We don't have to panic. We don't have to run around screaming like a banshee. We don't have to be pulling out our hair. We don't have to let everybody know how frustrated we are. Can you sit and quietly wait and say, I'm trusting God? It is good for a man. It is good for a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Here it's not dealing with the salvation as being redeemed. It's dealing with deliverance from the situation we're in. Can you wait for God quietly? Have so much faith and trust that you don't have to go tell everyone about your problem hoping they will fix it? Can you trust that God can do it? That God can hear your prayers? That God can work? That you could be patient, you'd calm and say, I'm going to wait for God. God can get it fixed. God can work. I can trust him. It is good. It is because God is truth. Can you trust in the truth that God is good and that God is right, that God is able? Can you trust in the truth of the matter? Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be that there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full of reproach. In verses 27 through 30, it deals with willful submission. Willful submission. That if you want the, strength of God, let me tell you the secret. It comes when you surrender. You cannot work up the strength of God. You cannot conquer and obtain the strength of God. You surrender to have the strength of God. When you say, I trust God. Now let me clarify this. That this deals with the idea of biblical authority. That if you're saying, I'm in a situation, I'm so horrible, I can't find a way out of this, I got to trust in God. And God sends biblical authority to give you something to do, and you refuse, that means you're not trusting in God. God knows what he's doing. And let me tell you a hint. God speaks to us through biblical authority. And if we refuse to submit to biblical authority, that means we are not trusting in God. The Bible is full of passages dealing with that same thing. So we're dealing with the idea that I can have hope in God. And if you're trusting in God, you will also trust that he can lead you and guide you with the authority and the situations that are around you. That is how God works. Someone was recently asking me about how does God speak to us? And that was a great question, you know, dealing with a situation. I don't know how the situation is. So does that mean that I just pray and pray and pray and pray and expect God to just touch someone's heart and just to... No, when we're waiting on God, it carries the idea that when we're waiting on God, we're not sitting there doing nothing. When we're waiting on God, we are saying, God, I am trusting you to do your part. You tell me what to do and I'll be obedient to whatever you tell me to do. And let me tell you something, he will put you to the test. Remember, submission doesn't come when you agree with authority. That's called unity. That's what we want. Submission comes when we disagree with authority. And it tests your heart. Can you trust God enough to do something that you may not want to do? Can you trust him? See, this is the idea of submission now. It carries the idea, do you trust him? Can you wait on him? Can you depend to know that he knows what he's doing? Can you trust in that? When you are able to submit yourselves and surrender yourself, then God's strength will go on. You will see things accomplished in that situation that you couldn't even dream of, and there was no way you could do it yourself because we have a strong God. And a lot of times in situations in our life, that most the reason why it's not being solved is not because of the situation and it's not because of God. It is because the Bible says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves and say, God, whatever you tell me to do. Now remember, he's not going to send you a vision. It's probably pepperoni pizza. He's not going to give you a dream. He's going to speak to you through visible biblical authority. And through the Bible. And that is how we quietly and patiently wait for God. And his strength is unfathomable. How God works. When we humble ourselves and say, I trust you to fix this situation. My hands are off. You just tell me what to do. And I'll watch you work. And it is amazing what God can do. And as Jeremiah is going through here, he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. I have hope because of the unchangeable character of God. I have hope because of the unfathomable strength of God. But we also see that he has hope for another reason, dealing with who God is, that he has hope. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The unchangeable character of God, the unfathomable strength of God, and then the unfailing promises of God. The unfailing promises of God. Notice with me in verse number 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. What God explains to us in the Bible is that God will not leave his work in you unfinished. He says, I will complete the work that I started in you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 speaks that he that began a good work in you will continue unto that day. You understand that God has begun a good work and he is going to continue that work. That he's not going to leave it unfinished. He's not going to leave you there. He's not going to leave you hanging. He will not cast off forever. It may not seem like there is no end in sight. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no way out. But God will not cast off forever. He says, I will finish what I started in you. I will not leave this business undone. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 32. But though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For those of you who like math, here's your math thing. It says his mercy or his compassions will be according to the multitude of his mercies. If you wanted to put it this way, you could say that my compassion is as long as my mercy. So as long, as wide, as measurable as his mercy is, his compassion is also that same thing. The multitudes of his mercy. He will not run out of love for you. He will not run out of his mercies for you. His mercies, his compassions, they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He brings that up again. I have compassion on you. I have mercy on you. I've got a plan for you. I see what you're going through. And I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. That when we are tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold, the book of Job says. God knows what he's doing, and he knows how to put that refiner's fire on. He knows what is necessary to make you the Christian that you ought to be, to make you as Christ, that God is using that circumstance in your life that you say, I can't survive it, I can't go past it. He says, this is necessary. This is what is needed to make you more like Christ. Notice as he goes on with that same idea in verse 33. He says, I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm trying to make you more like Christ. Notice verse 33. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. In those verses it says, God is not just trying to crush people because he's a mean, vindictive God. I'm bored today, so I'm going to go squish some people. These are my ant farms, and I'm going to take my magnifying glass, and I'm going to put them under the flame. He says, I've got a purpose for everything I do, and it is to make you more like Christ. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his firstborn son. That everything that God puts in your life is designed to make you more like Christ. God knows what he's doing. He says, I'm not doing this because I'm bored. I'm not doing this because I feel like I have to torture someone. There is a design and a plan for all this that is going on. It didn't happen by accident. It came by the approval of God. He knows what he's doing. And so as Jeremiah looks at all of this, he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. That Jeremiah is crushed in his body. He is crushed in his spirit. He's fighting against bitterness. And how does he take another step? He looks at God. He sees God. He waits on God. He looks at God. He trusts God. And he says, this I recall to my mind. Who God is. I remember him. I remember his character. I remember his strength. I remember his promises. Therefore, I have hope. How is your hope? How are you doing in the struggles that you have? And some of you do have some struggles going on. Let me tell you, the answer is always to look at him. To look at him. And when you see him, you can go another day. When it doesn't seem like you can move anymore. When it doesn't seem like it just can't go on. Look at him. He is the hope that you need. Our hope is in God. Our hope is not the situation will end. Our hope is not the family member will get better. Our hope is not the mailman will bring us that check. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Some of you who have been feeling hopeless lately, go to God. Run to God. Say, God, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. God, I'm trusting in you. God, help me to keep looking at you. I need your strength right now. I am so weak. I need you. Run to him. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.